Very few Americans question the idea that the U.S. military should be subservient to the nation's political leaders, with the president as their commander-in-chief. But in other parts of the world, generals and armies meddle in politics all the time. So how exceptional is the U.S.? The world's one-man history desk, Chris Wolfe, joins me in the studio now. And Chris, how did the American exceptional circumstances here come about?
Well, it was enshrined right from the beginning in the Constitution that the president is the commander-in-chief, that a civilian's in charge of the military. But why? And I always enjoy reminding people that the founding fathers were very keen students of history, ancient and modern, and were well aware that the biggest threat to a republic, and we shouldn't forget how unique the United States was in just choosing not to have a king in the 18th century, that the biggest threat to a republic historically is a military dictatorship.
So what kind of examples do you think the founding fathers were alluding to?
Well, they wrote and spoke a lot about the ancient world, the ancient Greeks, and more especially about ancient Rome, which was a republic long before it was an empire. They loved these ancient examples of democracy and republican virtue. There's a reason Washington, D.C. is full of classical architecture. But they were well aware that the Greeks fell prey to their tyrants and that the Roman Republic was effectually destroyed by Julius Caesar, a hugely successful general with huge ambitions. Now, he was assassinated, of course, by backstabbing politicians in the Senate. But within a generation, you know, his relatives had replicated his success and effectively destroyed the republic and democratic ideals.
But the founding fathers must have been looking beyond the classical period. I mean, gosh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was inspiring, but their more immediate model was what you might call the mother country, England, in the 1600s, which had a lot of civil wars, and for part of which the Puritans won and established a republic. But their top general, Oliver Cromwell, pretty soon got tired of all the dickerings of the politicians and himself established a military dictatorship, which was hugely unpopular. And a lot of people who moved from England after that took that memory with them about how standing armies were bad. And then there's another example, not so well known, which is the King of France, who Louis XIV established an absolute monarchy with a huge standing army, which was used to take away individual liberties and persecute religious minorities, such as the Huguenots, many of whom ended up moving to America, including the ancestors, as you may know, of Paul Revere.
What about more contemporary examples? I mean, we look at the U.S., you know, Canada. There's a bunch of countries that certainly don't have the military off in the sidelines kind of breathing down their neck. What are some contemporary examples that do?
In Turkey, the military has a constitutional right to safeguard democracy, hence all the coups there. And of course, now with the new changes in Turkey, that could well be changing. And then elsewhere, generally, military coups are illegal, but they happen because, you know, a general might think that he has the best interests of the country at heart, but quite often it's just naked ambition.
So how exceptional is the U.S.?
Well, I always point to the example of Latin America. In the generation after the American Revolution, the colonies of Spain threw off the control of Spain largely. And the ideals of the Enlightenment of military subservience to the civilian authority and all that were just as strong in Latin America. But strong men would come along, successful generals, and establish dictatorships because, again, a mixture of ambition and, you know, what they thought was the best interests of their particular country, you know, there's no reason to suppose that that couldn't have happened here.
Has the U.S., through its history, ever been close to having a military coup?
Absolutely. There was quite a few occasions during the American Revolution when, you know, the long-suffering soldiers of the Continental Army would talk about taking matters into their own hands. And in fact, George Washington himself was instrumental in putting down perhaps the only real threat to American democracy from the military, which was in right at the end of the Revolutionary War. The army was all based around Newburgh, New York, on the Hudson River. A lot of unhappiness about the way they'd been treated and were about to be treated by Congress. There was a very real effort to get the army to march on Congress and throw the bums out, basically seize power. There was even talk about declaring George Washington king. And Washington basically got everyone, all the officers together in a room and talked them off the ledge and said, you know, I've grown old in the service of my country, basically promising to look after the soldiers and get them to just end this threat. But it was very real. And, you know, the consequences could have been unimaginable.
And that was the last time, 1700s.
I would say that was the last real time, yes. I mean, the US always had this antipathy to the idea of a standing army until quite modern times. The military was tolerated, and the military as an institution knew that to maintain their existence, they had to inculcate this notion that the military has to be subservient to the civilian authority. And it was one of the first armies to actually like make sure that every army graduate, you know, knew that.
My British colleague, Chris Wolfe, teaching me about American history. Thanks a lot, Chris.
You're welcome, Carol.